Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Seachtain, an Indo as Gaeilge.
Time I mon iarracht I aon of chacht ar a chur, agus suilgam a machan seo, gur féidir é a chur in uig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltí, fís, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhéadach ara I gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gináim go raibh orthchar an reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthchar san I lis dúthail agus gimine fnacht gór a chlig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhín ann dár dárach sin, bhín marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wing Live. Well, Ireland have lost the first test of their tour of New Zealand. They were beaten 42 points to 19 at Eden Park in Auckland. Well, to go through the main talking points from today's game, I'm joined by the Irish Independent rugby correspondent Rory O'Connor and also Keane Tracy, who's in Eden Park. Rory, to you first, there was a kind of growing sense of foreboding coming into this game after that loss to the Māori All Blacks on Wednesday, and reality just hit there today.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have thought that Mary game fed into the performance at all, judging on the first 20 minutes. Ireland, you know, was pretty much a perfect start. New Zealand showed them incredible respect. They kept kicking the ball away. And, you know, if there's one thing the Irish team wouldn't have feared from New Zealand, it was probably, you know, their kicking game. It's when New Zealand, as we saw later on in the game, it's when New Zealand hold on to the ball and attack where you have a bit of fear about them. But, no, like, Ireland started really well. They scored early, scored a really high quality try. Their tackles were, you know, really laced with venom. And even when New Zealand equalised and went ahead, Ireland looked like they were, you know, they were playing themselves back into the game. And then they just completely lost their way in that second quarter. You know, it'll be the subject of Andy Farrell's review this week. I think it'll be the main focal point. I mean, losing Johnny Sexton was part of it. I mean, the try that Seve Reese runs in stems from Sexton getting concussed. You know, he's still, you know, he plays on, he gets up and plays on, but he's not himself. You know, Ireland start kind of shuffling shit, you know, giving bad passes, eventually goes to deck. When really they just needed to put a bit of shape and it tighten up. And after that, they just lost their way. And well, I think Joey Carby had a really good game. You know, I don't think he was the problem at all. I thought without Sexton, their decision making in the second 20 minutes of that half really went awry. I thought Gibson Park, the time he tapped the penalty and went quick when they just needed to get, you know, to calm it down, kick it to the corner, he ran and tried to run it out of his own 22, got himself into all sorts of trouble. I think that led to one of the tries as well. And they just lost their composure. They started making bad decisions, just playing into New Zealand's hands, and without really doing an awful lot themselves. I think Ireland played a better attacking rugby a lot of the time, but New Zealand were able to pick off their tries, as they did in Dublin last year. And this time, Ireland didn't give them enough problems. And after that, they're chasing their tails. And ultimately, you know, you're going into a second test now, having shipped a heavy defeat. You know, Andrew Porter had to go 80. Tyke Furlong went 70 minutes. We had another dodgy concussion incident. And it's just more, you know, it's kind of heaping negativity upon negativity going into the second week. And it's, as you head to the sticks, you know, going to Dunedin, it's going to be a tough week ahead for Ireland.
Yeah, Keane, you're over there in Eden Park. Where do you think it went wrong for Ireland today?
Well, where do you start, Sinead? I thought there was several areas you could easily look at. I think, you know, coming into this game and I think coming into this tour as a whole, like I would have had serious concerns around the scrum, the line-out. I think we saw that coming to fruition again. I think Andrew Porter was under enormous pressure, and we're starting to see this as a trend now. Teams are going after Andrew Porter on the loose set at scrum time, and the All Blacks got a lot of joy out of that. Ireland's line-out wasn't great. Their breakdown work was really poor. Whether it was like not committing enough men, over-committing and not having pillars around the fringe, just really uncharacteristic when you think of how much work, good work Paul O'Connell has kind of done and, you know, come in for praise for. But this was a really, really poor day at the office. I thought, you know, as good as the All Blacks were, I thought Ireland handed a lot of opportunities to them. They were poor in contact, you know, knocking on the ball. I think Rudd is right. My sense from being in the ground here was that that Seve-Reese try was really the turning point because, you know, you're under the sticks. You're kind of thinking, okay, let's just take a deep breath here and, you know, cool heads and all that. And all of a sudden, Johnny Sexton is going off injured. Then Joey Carberry comes on. I agree. I thought he did well in what he could do. But it was just carnage after that. You know, you needed to get, Ireland needed to get to halftime and they conceded another couple of tries. Just when you think things couldn't get any worse, losing Sexton and conceding a breakaway try, which came totally against the run of play. Ireland were actually had built some really nice phases. They got a dream start here. I don't know if Eden Park would be renowned for its atmospheres as, you know, as intimidating a place as it is to come. There wasn't much atmosphere, I have to say, kind of from the start. And then when Ireland get that early try, it was, you know, it stunned the home crowd, but I think it also kind of, you know, kickstarts the All Blacks into life. And yeah, like when you cough up opportunities like that, they punish you. I thought, like, I don't know what you guys thought about from watching back home, but I thought the kicking strategy was quite unusual. It seemed to me that there was a plan there to kick the ball and keep it in play. Like James Lowe did it a few times, Hugo Keenan. And I'm kind of thinking of all teams, and we saw this the other night against the Maoris, of all teams, you don't want to give chances to counterattack. It's the All Blacks. And I thought that was very strange. It happened to, in my opinion, for it not to have been a tactic, but it's just one, even during the game, I said it to a colleague beside me, I just don't understand why they're trying to keep the ball in play. And I just thought it's probably summed up maybe Ireland's muddled thinking. And again, Rudd is right to point out the fact that Andrew Porter played 80 minutes. I mean, it just shows that Keane Healy clearly wasn't fit, but they didn't have really anyone else that they could put on the bench. And to have your front row playing that long in a game that was up, it just really highlights the depth issues. I mean, Michael Bent was here tonight, like, which is just remarkable, really, when you think about it. I'm not even sure when the last, I was trying to ask a couple of Kiwi journalists, because he's been playing for Taranaki, and the Kiwi journalists I spoke to reckoned it had been a long, long time since he'd actually played, because they hadn't been playing rugby due to COVID. So that's the kind of desperate, desperate situation you're talking about. But Andy Farrell said before he left Dublin that he wanted to find out about the depth and the quality of his squad. And I think, yeah, he's finding out a lot, but not the things that he really wants to find out about.
Yeah, I was very surprised to read your tweet this morning, Keane, about Michael Bent. I was like, is this for real? But Rory, what about that? What about, because you were kind of left scratching your head at some of the decisions and some questionable tactics.
That's it. Like, the tactics don't seem to match up with the personnel. I think Keane's made a really good point there. You know, if you're going to play, they're obviously going for high ball and play because they think they're fitter than the All Blacks. And in fairness, they finished the game quite well. But if you're going to ask your two props to go so deep and you're concerned about the depth on the bench, if you're at the team at the end of a long season and the other team is fresh, why are you trying to play that game? Why are you not trying to conserve energy at times?
What was behind the thinking there, do you think?
Well, they're trying to play high ball and play. They're obviously backing their game plan and their fitness, but they're not accounting for the fact that, you know, they're at the end of a long season, that you know, they're relying on two props, both of whom I think are carrying knocks at the moment. They don't trust a lot of their bench options because they're not bringing them into the game. A bit like Leinster towards the end of the season, you know, not utilizing their bench. Like, if you're going to win a World Cup, you're going to beat New Zealand, your bench needs to be a weapon that you spring off the bench. It needs to be impact off it. And one or two of them went well, but really, you know, Aki was good. O'Kieran Treadwell made an impact when he came in. Obviously, you know, Dave Heffernan went off injured as soon as he came on. But, you know, they're not getting enough out of it. If you're going to play that game, you need to be able to refresh the troops after about 50 minutes. You think of South Africa bringing on their bomb squad and changing their entire pack. You know, Ireland are not doing anything near that. And, you know, I think if Ireland are going to go beyond where they are at the moment, you need more than 15 players to get by. And, you know, they ran out of steam in the first half. So A bit like they did against the Mary. Like the second quarter in both games has been disastrous.
Yeah,
they're missing a couple of players. Like, I mean, you know, and it has been, they've had disruptions with Ian Henderson, you know, having to go home and stuff like that. But like, for me, I don't see this situation in terms of the depth changing from now until the World Cup. I mean, there wasn't a raft of players that Andy Farrell didn't pick, and there was loads of like controversy over why didn't he pick this guy and that guy. And now all of a sudden you've got Ed Byrne, who was supposed to arrive this morning, who, like, let's be fair, is way down the pecking order. And the idea of this tour wasn't to have guys who were realistically are not in Andy Farrell's World Cup thinking, all things being equal. And all of a sudden you've got guys in this squad now who, really, like, are they up to this kind of level? You're not really sure, but I would have massive concerns that this is going to be a common theme for the next 18 months, whatever it is, until we get to France next year. Because it's funny, like, we talk, and I'm guilty of it as well, you know, we speak so much about, you know, Leinster using 60 players and the strength and depth that they have, but we see it with Leinster as well. They don't trust their bench either and their depth. So it's having a knock-on effect with Ireland as well. So I'd be concerned, yeah. I think tonight was, despite the Eden Park factor, and we all know that, I think tonight was Ireland's best chance, like, for a few reasons. The All Blacks, you know, sometimes they can start slow first game of their international season. And also it was the best chance to put Ireland's best 15 onto the pitch. Like, Dexon is going to miss the second test now. You wouldn't know if there's a couple of more injuries. So I think it's going to be a long, long couple of weeks for Ireland. And just, it's hard to know where they go from here, because, like I said, there aren't guys waiting in the wings who I don't think they can bring in, like Bundy Aki maybe, but there aren't game changers that didn't play tonight who could come in to change it around for the second test. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, Rory, explain that about Johnny Sexton, because he went off with that HIA after 30 minutes. Joey Carberry came on. He failed his HIA test, but that may now also mean he'll miss a second test in Dunedin.
Yeah, up until this window, you could potentially come back. If you passed all of your tests during the week, you could come back the following Saturday. It was actually happening less frequently that players would do that, but you were within the bounds of what was available. But they've pushed that now. It's a stand-down period. I think it's 12 days now. It's so you can't play the following week. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, like, Ireland need to be looking at the upsides. You know, Joey Carberry's going to start a test match against New Zealand in New Zealand, and that's exactly what Ireland need for Joey Carberry. So they may even, you know, could they stand Sexton down for the tour now? I mean, given his history, that would make sense to me. Maybe get Ben Healy out for the Mary game, or get Frawley involved. Look, I you know, I'm speculating there, but, you know, the only thing that, you know, obviously you're on a downer, you've just lost quite heavily in your opening test. Ireland dominated the ball. They played the game in the right areas. They got over the line five times and were either held up or dropped or knocked it on. A lot of New Zealand's scores came from Irish mistakes rather than any great play that New Zealand did. So there is, and the 15 that are out there, and obviously only 14 of them that we know are going to be available next week, but they went toe-to-toe and quite well for a while and really got themselves into an awful lot of trouble. So if you think about the 2012 tour, they lost heavily in the opening test and then went to Christchurch and should have, but for a really dodgy decision by Nigel Owens, you know, should have won that game. They lost to a last-minute Dan Carter drop goal. All is not, you know, you couldn't give up completely on them, because there was enough there to say that they can cause this All Blacks team problems if they can fix their line out and at least gain parity on the scrum. A bit of channel one ball, maybe, you know, be sensible, get it in and get it out. Don't let it linger in there. It was getting caught in the second rows at times today, which just was baffling to me. So, I'm not saying they're going to win next weekend. I just think there was some evidence there that they're able to cause this team problems, and they were their own worst enemies today.
I think the problem with that, though, Rod, is that the All Blacks have, I would say, two or three more gears to go up.
I don't think this is a great New Zealand team.
No, but I still think that they've got another couple of gears that they can go up from tonight. And I know Ireland were held up over the line, whatever it was, four times, but I just thought New Zealand, and you have to give credit, you'd have to say, because it was awesome defence from the All Blacks. But yeah, I know it's not a vintage All Blacks team, but it's full of quality players. They've got better depth than Ireland do. And yeah, like that's why I'd be concerned, because I think that they'll be much better next week, having had this blowout as well. And like I said, can Ireland find that next gear? without Johnny Sexton, it's going to be incredibly tough, I would suggest. But, you know, like I said from the very start, Andy Farrell wanted to find out about certain players, and Joey Carberry now is going to have to run the show in training all week, which will be massive for him. But, you know, it doesn't matter who's playing out half. It could be Dan Carter. If the Pack aren't able to get on top, if your scrum is shaky, if your line out is wobbly, it doesn't really matter. And these are issues that have hampered Ireland and Leinster throughout this season. And they don't seem to be any closer to sorting it out. Because like I said, teams are going after Andrew Porter now and he's conceding penalties. So it's very tough to win top level test games, like let alone in New Zealand, if you can't have a scrum. I mean, I think it was 3 scrum penalties maybe off the top of my head that Porter conceded. So that's not going unnoticed by referees. It's not going unnoticed by players. And like, I would fear that Ireland, the Irish scrum now has a reputation of one that coughs up penalties. And that's all it takes is in a referee's mind. If it's a 50-50 decision, the chances are it's going to go against the opposition team because he knows the Irish scrum is liable to cough up penalties. And this has been a worry of mine for a while. And like I said, with the issues that Ireland have in the front row, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Well, final thoughts, lads, just there, because I know, Keane, you have to run off to a press conference before the second test. How are you expect things to shape up now before that second test in Dunedin?
Yeah, well, Ireland are staying in Auckland, Sinead, for the next few days. The All Blacks are flying to Dunedin tomorrow, Sunday. So Ireland are going to stay in Auckland until Wednesday and train at the same base, basically, that they've been using for since they arrived in the country a week and a half ago. So there's a bit of familiarity there. They just got to pick themselves up and go again. I mean, it's just like it's an absolutely brutal tour, but this is what they signed up for. I would imagine the review on Monday will make for a pretty grim reading, because like Rod said, they were creators of their own downfall a lot of times. They handed easy opportunities from their own mistakes, but they might get a bit of confidence from that, in that if they had been a little bit more tidy, if they'd looked after the ball a little bit more, maybe the All Blacks wouldn't have cut loose as much. So they'll look at the positives. There were positives, I agree. It's not all doom and gloom. I'm just looking down here in the pitch now at James Lowe and Easton Asewa embracing two Leinster guys. So, they've got to pick themselves up and go again. And, you know, it's a big week, I would suggest, Carberry's career now, because a lot of the times when he's come in, it's kind of been last minute. He's come on as a sub, whereas now he's going to be asked to run the show all week. And that's massive. And these are the kind of things that Andy Farrell wants to get out of this tour. So a massive challenge, but it'll be a fascinating one, I think, as well, because like I said, I think the All Blacks have another couple of gears to go up as well.
Rory?
Yeah, I think it's all fair. I think the medical teams and the people running the game over there need to take a real look at themselves as well after the Dave Heffernan incident. There was a real repeat of the Jeremy Loughman one. I know they got him off after a couple of minutes, but still, you know, that's got to happen at the time. They've got to be looking at this stuff. I mean, I saw it on TV and I got about 5
just on that road, actually. It was interesting. He didn't actually seem to do a HIA. He stayed on the bench. He didn't go down a ton or anything.
Yeah, so, which is what was supposed to happen with Loughman the other day. But it's just the fact that, you know, he got an assessment on the pitch. I mean, that stuff's got it. You know, that's got. I think Scott Barrett's probably going to get suspended as well. It was a fairly clear no arm hit on the head of an Irish player late on. Look, as I said earlier, there was a lot there for Ireland to build on, but they've got to build on it. I thought at halftime was really important that they didn't come out and collapse, because it looked like they collapsed in the second quarter, but they kind of, you know, broke even in the second half, and that was probably important for the tour. But this could be a really damaging tour if things start to go wrong. If there's a repeat to that second quarter, as Keane said, New Zealand will get better. Ireland have to get better, and it's the end of a long season. They're on tour. These things can get quite difficult quite quickly. I think he needs to fly out four or five players this week. Just, right, you know, take away the stress. He's created a really unnecessary stress for himself by bringing such a small squad. There are opportunities to get better. There are clear areas to identify and fix, but obviously the All Blacks will do the same. Look, we're looking at a fairly obvious clean sweep at the moment for the All Blacks. I mean, Ireland winning a test over here looks really remote at this stage, but they've got to believe they can do it.
Okay, Rory in Dublin and Keane in Auckland, thanks for that. Well, that's it from us on the Left Wing Live. Will and Luke will be back during the week, and we'll be back with this special Left Wing Live after the second test next Saturday. Bye for now.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.